wearing my ceremonial Ohio State colors after that. I was thinking, as I'm putting little bits and pieces together, it seems like it's just that time of year where we start having technology difficulties. And it was interesting because I was feeling like, you know what? I owe Mark. You know, past few weeks he's been good and he's shown up, and yet I haven't had all the cartoons and everything together for him. So I said, I'm going to make it up to him today. We finally got the projector working, so I've got all kinds of funnies in there to make up for lost time. But you know how it is. It's like when you have the kids. I remember when I used to work in church I was in, we used to do children's church, similar to what we have. And, you know, you could have all the fun, all the singing, all the songs and everything. But the kids were like, but what about the snack? You know, what about the little crackers and the juice, right? Like, you got to have all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I have to remember that, you know, some of you are like those little kids in children's church. You got to have the juice. So I got a little extra snacks and juice today. But we've been talking about healing. We've been taking the time to look at what it means to get healed, what it means to have faith that God can heal us. And, you know, as I was listening to Dennis during our Lord's Supper, you know, it's that time of year, too, for that, where there's a lot of healing needed, you know, a lot of sinus infections and colds and allergies even, and people having problems breathing, bronchitis. Healing is a big deal, especially when you're the one who's sick, you know. It's like, it's one thing to look and think, oh my goodness, it's so terrible to see all these people who are going through this. But when it's you, it's like, yeah, it's even more important that you get healed. And naturally, when you need some healing, you go to the doctor. You go find somebody who is trained, somebody who can provide some healing for you. And yet, when it comes to spiritually being healed, sometimes the most difficult thing to do is follow exactly what it is that the doctor ordered. You know, this is something that I can share from personal experience, because I'm one of those typical men that only recently have I learned that, you know, when you feel something and it goes on for a time, you probably need to go to the doctor. You know, you probably don't just need to sit there and let it continue on and linger on. And so I want to look at this from a spiritual perspective, because we sit here and we read the Bible. Many of us, we make it a point regularly to pray. And yet God will give us instructions, tells us what we need to do to be healed. And yet sometimes we just refuse to follow the directions. And I'm going to break this up over the course of 2 weeks. Because sometimes it's an issue if you're just hard-headed. You just don't want to do what you're supposed to do. Other times, you just don't quite understand the directions that you're being given. It just doesn't make sense to you. Maybe it's not clear. And so I want to focus on that part of it today. The title of the sermon is Doctor's Orders. Simply put, God is not limited in his ability to heal, but sometimes we have a difficult time understanding and making sense of what the doctor's orders are. I want to go into several scriptures that talk about this. You know, last week we talked about Naaman and how Naaman had something very simple that he was asked to do. And because it didn't make sense to him, because it didn't meet his expectations, part of his faith had to be reordered and reconstructed so that he could understand that God doesn't work always the way that we think he should work and in the timing that he thinks that, or that we think he should. And to continue on with that, there's a thing about medicine that sometimes I used to have a bad habit of. I remember the first time when I was out of my house, when I was in college, I had an infection that required some antibiotics. Doctor said, hey, you know, you got to take this. And it was like, I think, two of them twice a day. And then you got to do this until you finish the bottle, right? You got to go through the whole thing. And being a young strong, strapping man that I was. I was like, but I feel better after 4 days. I know the bottle says it's going to be 10 days worth, but I feel pretty good, and so I stopped taking it. And then inevitably, I felt good for a minute, but I didn't completely get well. And sometimes spiritually, we can read the word. It can give us the instructions. It can tell us exactly what we need to do. But the difficulty is not leaning on our own understanding and doing it exactly as it says. You know, here's a little cartoon that I read. And it, see, this is all about medicine, but when you think about it, apply this in a spiritual way. It says, I'll give it to you straight. This disease is almost impossible to pronounce. Let's face it, sometimes we read the Bible, and I know some of you laugh at me because I'll read through something, especially in the Old Testament, we get a name, and I don't exactly know how to pronounce that. Maybe it's important. Here's another one. I thought about you with this one, Mark. The nurse will return your pants as soon as you pay your bill. You know, sometimes we can feel like we're being held hostage, you know? Sometimes we can feel like, well, is God going to heal me if I don't do everything perfect and right, if I don't do all of these things that are required? And we can almost look at it as though somehow we're being held hostage or we're so at the mercy of God's, you know, whim that any little mistake we make, he's not going to give us our pants back. Here's one. Let's see. We've taken you off smoking, drinking, and rich food. What else do you enjoy? You know? Because sometimes we can read the Bible and we think, well, in order for me to be able to understand God clearly, I have to give up everything that I enjoy, everything that I love, everything that I want to do. And let's face it, we do have to crucify the sinful nature. We do have to let go of certain things that are not healthy for us. But to walk with God does not mean that everything that you love and enjoy and like about life is something that you have to give up. And yet, sometimes we can feel that way about God, especially when it comes to healing. Because let's face it, just like when we go to the doctor and this guy here, there's a lot of things we're not willing to give up until we get sick. You know, we're not willing to give up that sugar until your pancreas just says no. We're not willing to give up certain foods until your arteries are so clogged that you got to have that bypass. Like, there are things we don't want to give up until we're so sick that there's no other way. Here's another one. The diagnostic computer thinks it's a punishment from God. And let's face it. Sometimes, even though we chuckle at this and it's a cartoon and it's like, ha, 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 guess what? Sometimes we feel like the pain that we're in, we interpret it as though we're being punished by God. We don't view it through faith. We don't view it as God is teaching me or teaching others or allowing my example to be something that glorifies and honors him. We view everything negative, everything that hurts, everything that's painful, we view it as a punishment from God when it's not that way. Let's look at a scripture here, Romans chapter 8. Because so much of this is a matter of us being able to see this as a spiritual thing. That it's not, it's beyond just what's going on in the physical. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 9, it says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We read this, and so much of this, the Spirit that's in us, the Spirit makes us sons and daughters of our Father. And yet the question has to be asked, do we seek out? Do we listen to? Do we take the time to allow the Spirit to be what guides our steps? You know, I talk about this from the standpoint of that medication. You know, when it says to finish out the bottle, it says finish out the dosage. Sometimes we don't listen to the instructions. We don't read the directions. We don't follow the directions for what would heal us because we want to do it our way. Or we don't necessarily want to be inconvenienced with all of these rules, all of these different directions that we've gotten. Many cannot find healing because they struggle to trust and follow God's instructions. See, the trust part is sometimes where we have to really wrestle with the Spirit. Because if we're honest, sometimes we don't, you know, we read about the Spirit and how the Spirit should guide us, how we have his Spirit. But do we recognize it? Do we listen to it? Do we even know how that is? There are people who believe, well, you know what? The way that you get the Spirit and the way that you follow the Spirit is by reading the Bible. You know, and I remember someone said this years ago, and the question I had was, well, then what did people do in the New Testament before the Bible? What did people do before they could read? The fact of the matter is that the Spirit, our advocate, our friend, sometimes it shows up as that, you know what? You need to turn around and go back. You need to go back and do this thing. Many of us have a difficult time hearing it. It's kind of like recognizing the voice of someone that you're talking to. One of the best questions, still ranks as one of the best questions I was ever asked. Matthew asked me, he said, how do I know that when I'm praying that God is exchanging in this conversation and it's not just what I want? You know, and I said, well, how do you know that it's your dad when he calls you on the phone? You know, my son is 9 years old. We finally gave him a cell phone and actually put some minutes on it. And now he calls all the time. And the thing is, you know, as I was talking to Matthew about this several years ago, the fact is I know my father's voice. Why? Because I've been talking to him for years. And I talk to him all the time. And so I would know if it wasn't my dad, even if it came up on the caller ID. I would know if it wasn't my dad and it was Tony pranking me, or if it were, you know, Steve and he just brawled somebody's phone. I would know because I would recognize the voice of somebody who I've been listening to for 43 years. You have to have that type of prayer life, that type of relationship with God. Because, as the Bible talks about, you know, not living contrary to the Spirit, there are things that are contrary and don't fit with what my dad, something he would say, something he would tell me to do. I not only know his voice, I know and I can expect what it is that he would want me to do. And I would know sometimes when he's serious and sometimes when he's joking. Why? Because I've spent that much time talking to him. We have to ask ourselves many times, not whether or not the Spirit can influence us, but how well do we know the Spirit? How much time do we spend talking to God to even be able to recognize that Spirit that was given to all of us, all of the us who have given our lives to God? Bed rest is something that is difficult. Well, it's more difficult for some than others. I know for me, that I've only been put on bed rest, and it was abbreviated. I was only put on bed rest a couple of different times. It was very short. And even those short amounts of time, I didn't want to do it, you know? I was just so busy. I had so much stuff to do. It's almost like, you know, I felt like, but I'm going to miss something. Something's not going to happen. And I remember a friend of mine at the time told me, they said, guess what? The world will continue. Even your little world will continue if you sit down and rest. But sometimes that's contrary to what we want to do. It can be difficult to want to follow the instructions. In particular, one time I had my wisdom teeth pulled. I had three of them pulled, and the genius that I was, I decided to have them all pulled at the same time. They gave me stitches. I had stitches all through my mouth, and they said, hey, don't eat anything. Don't talk. You don't have anything to say. Just rest. And, you know, I just couldn't do it and found myself at the gym. Why? Because I couldn't follow the doctor's orders. I'm on the leg press, and that I don't even know how my leg was connected to my mouth, but I was pressing this weight, and stitches came out. And I remember I came home. This is when my wife was pregnant with William. She was actually, it was about 3 weeks before he was born. And she was just looked at me, and she gave me that typical Sharice face, and she just shook her head. And I'm like, what? You know, actually, what? And she was like, why didn't you just stay home? Why didn't you just do what you were told? Because sometimes we're in the habit of doing things a certain way. We just have a difficult time following the instructions. And so something that could have been simple, sometimes that healing, that hurt, that pain we're in, we could find it easy to fix it, but we just don't trust God enough to obey him completely and thoroughly. The doctor said you should slow down, not stop. You know, sometimes we hear the instructions that God is giving us, and we take it and we go somewhere else with it, right? He tells us to do one thing, and we say, okay, but I'm going to go a little further, and I didn't tell you to do that. Other times, this is a good one. What the doctor says versus what I hear. What the doctor said is, I'm prescribing a topical gel. Ideally, you have someone at home who can apply this to your shoulder. And what you heard was, tell your husband he has to give you massages. You know, sometimes we take these liberties instead of just following the exact prescription that God gives us. You know, and again, we can look at this, and it can almost be humorous at times, but many of us, when we're in pain spiritually, when we're struggling with something, we read it right there in black and white on the paper, but we aren't willing to follow through exactly the way God tells us to do it. We add our pieces to it. We take things away. I want to look in Genesis chapter 22, a great example of trusting God and following him to the letter. Starting in verse 3, it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." We see here in this example with Abraham a lot of trust. There's a whole lot of trusting going on. Let's go back and look at this. You see, number one, Abraham has told his wife, guess what? I heard from God. He texted me. He told me he wants me to take our one son, the one son we have, and he wants me to go up and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Now, there has to be a lot of trust there to follow through, because in your mind, it's like, you gave me this promise. You said you were going to give me something. Why are you now telling me to give it up? Spiritually, sometimes we're in that place where we're saying, God, how are you telling me to do this one thing, but now it almost seems contradictory? What, are you taking something back that you promised to me? You know, you see the same thing here with Isaac, because what people sometimes don't catch in this is that Isaac was not like a little boy. He wasn't like one of the little kids down in children's church. Isaac was old enough to resist at this point. You know, he was still his son, but he was a big kid at this point. This was not a baby. This was, Isaac could have said no. He could have resisted, but he trusted God enough to say, okay, if my dad says so, then we're going to go ahead and go through with this. Even to the point of carrying up his own provisions and things that he was going to be sacrificed with. One of the things that we can often forget about this is that Abraham had to learn a lesson also. See, there was a time when Abraham had that same promise from God, said, I'm going to make sure that you and your wife have this, you know, child and all these many nations. But he took it upon himself. He didn't follow the instructions out. And so he decided, well, I'll go ahead, and he listened to his wife, and they decided, we'll come up with our own plan. And we'll have a child. You can have a child with the servant. You can have a child with Hagar over here. God's like, no, that wasn't my plan. Spiritually, sometimes we take it upon ourselves to intervene, and, you know, we look and it's like, oh, okay, well, sometimes, you know, we're hard-headed. No, that's dangerous when we're hard-headed, when we're not willing to have faith that God will provide. And so Abraham learned his lesson. He followed through exactly the way that God told him to do it, and even though he didn't know it at the time, there was provisions already there. There was a ram stuck in the bush. So often, having faith, praying, asking God to work in our lives, we have to remember that trusting God, what it looks like, is that we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. That we don't always see what God has ahead of us, but we're going to be obedient to him and follow him and carry out his instructions so that we may be healed. Trusting God is more than just hearing him. It requires obedience and submission. We see that submission when we decide, you know what? I'm going to give sacrificially. I'm going to give to the church, even though maybe financially I'm not in the place that I want to be. I'm going to spend my time serving and doing because this is what God asked me to do, even though really I've got important things on my plate that I need to do too. Even though there's things that I'm concerned about, I'm still going to pray for others. I'm still going to take the time, what does it say? Consider others better than yourself. See, that's a level of trust that God will take care of you, but it's also something that requires submission on your part and my part, because what we see here is that sometimes you're Abraham in a scenario and you're getting all this testing, and sometimes while Abraham's getting tested, you're Isaac. And you're saying, look, man, this is not really my problem. God didn't tell me to do this. I don't know what he's asking you to do. Why do I have to take part in this? Because sometimes someone else's healing is connected to yours. Isn't that why we tell everybody to wash their hands? And we wipe down doorknobs. And because, you know, just because I'm sick, you know, in order for me to get healed, sometimes you've got to take some steps to make sure that you don't pass on those germs as well. We're all connected together as the body, and so it's important that we understand that the healing isn't just for us, it's for others as well. You know, talking about those instructions and following those instructions, you know, one of the big instructions is when they tell you, hey, don't operate any heavy machinery, don't drive, don't drink any alcohol. There's certain things you can't do. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, I can handle it. I can handle it. I told you about that time when I went to the dentist and they took my wisdom teeth out. And I was convinced, no, I'll be fine, really. Afterwards, I'll get home. It's only a couple miles. And they just looked at me and like, they said, you fool. I remember the guy told me, he said, count from 10 back to 1 backwards. And he started asking me some questions while I was counting. I do remember I got to the number 5. The next thing I knew, I was bouncing in a wheelchair. And they were taking me out. See, sometimes we overestimate or even underestimate the impact of what it is that we're going through. We underestimate what it is that God needs to do in our life or in the lives of others. And so we need to really take his prescriptions, his diagnosis, his instructions seriously, that we don't take anything away from it or add anything to it. Couple of scriptures as we finish up here. James chapter 1 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 5, says, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. So often, God has us on the road to being healed, you know, and we know this because we've been through it physically, where we've had procedures and surgeries, or we've gone through things. And sometimes the recovery may be 3 days. Sometimes the recovery may be 3 months. Sometimes the recovery may be years. And very often, we get impatient or we don't understand exactly what God is doing because we're walking by sight. Even though God is healing us, even though we're getting better, even though we're getting stronger, we start walking by sight and we don't continue to follow what the word instructs us to do. That's what we saw there with Abraham. All this time, he's moved from the place where he was, and God sent him, for what he knew, to the other side of the world. Sent him on this long journey and says, you're going to create something new. You're going to have this new people, and you're going to do this new thing over here. And all the while, Abraham's following, but he started improvising. He started thinking for himself, he started walking by sight. We have to be reminded that we have to walk by faith. Sometimes in order for us to get healed, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense why I have to go through all this physical therapy. And how is it that pain of physical therapy can heal me? It hurts. How is it that ripping these bandages off and going in and cleaning it out and pouring in something that's going to clear this up, how is that pain helping me? See, in the moment, pain never feels good. You don't enjoy it. But we know physically that that pain results in that cleansing, which ultimately leads to that process of healing to where we can recover fully. And yet spiritually, it can be difficult because we can identify pain with God not being there, God not giving us what we want or what we ask for. To live outside of faith is to live a life where you're seeking healing by means not of him. Very often we go to the doctor and the doctor gives us instructions, and some of you aren't as hard-headed as I am. Some of you follow those instructions thoroughly and completely, and you go home and you sit down and you don't mind the bed rest. Sometimes we take the prescription that we've been given, we go right to Walgreens or right at, we get the pharmacy, and you follow it through. Why? Because you trust that doctor. Do you trust God the way that you trust the doctor? Do you have faith in God spiritually the way that you have faith in physicians? It may sound simple, but oftentimes that is the question that we have to answer before we can really get true healing spiritually. Before we can get over that really painful hurt, grievance, that thing that we did or that thing that was done to us, before we can overcome and get over that and truly be healed, the first question is, do you really trust the doctor? A few questions before we close. Do you rely on faith in the Spirit to determine your decision-making process, or do you go by sight? Is everything a matter of, well, this is what makes sense to me, or this is what I was taught, this is what I was told? Are you truly willing to rely on faith and submit to God's Spirit that's in you? In what areas of your life are you not getting better? Have you considered how carefully you're following the instructions? You know, like I said, sometimes we're sitting there and we can doubt and we can be frustrated with God because we think, I've been dealing with this thing for weeks or months or years and I haven't gotten better. This pain has not gone away. And we question God, we doubt God, when in reality, have we followed his instructions the way he asked us to do it? Because sometimes you got to finish it out. You know, sometimes you got to follow the dosage out. Sometimes you got to finish those antibiotics before you'll be completely cleared up. In what areas of your life are you not getting better? And how can it be different if you would follow the instructions a little bit better? Are you willing to trust God and listen to him even when what is being asked of you doesn't make sense or seem like it will work? How much do you focus on listening to God versus talking to him? And this is really important because just like any patient-doctor relationship, the doctor needs you to come in and tell them what's wrong, even though a really good doctor oftentimes can look at you and tell what's wrong. You know, kind of like a mechanic. Really good mechanic, he can tell when your car comes in the garage, like, okay, I know what they haven't been doing. Oftentimes, that relationship requires you to talk, but sometimes what we forget is, yes, our prayers matter because we want to make sure God can hear us, but how much do we listen to God? How careful are we to make sure that we listen to God? You know, it's like, you know, we're really big to want to, you know, people are really big to want to hold God accountable for whether or not he heard us. But do we listen for his response? What if it's not the response we wanted? How carefully do we pay attention to God when he's talking to us and giving us instruction? And finally, does God communicate with you in your regular, everyday life? In what way does he seek to tell you what his will for your life is? I bring this up because, like I was saying, oftentimes communicating with God, the difficulty we have in following his instructions is, frankly, we don't know the voice of God. We have a difficult time understanding and hearing the voice of God. You know, I was talking about me communicating with my father, and it's appropriate to use a father-son or a father-daughter relationship when it comes to looking at God and our relationship with God, because we're expected to communicate with God all the time, just like I used to communicate with my dad all the time, or my son communicates with me all the time throughout the day. But what about people who do not have a relationship with their father? You know, if you haven't spoken to your father in 20 years, for that matter, if you haven't spoken to your father in a few months, when they call, you may not recognize them because things have changed since the last time you spoke to them. My father doesn't sound the same now at 71 years old as he did back when he was 41, but I recognize the changes because we've been in constant communication during that time. Sometimes our healing is dependent on us getting back in touch with the doctor. You know, you haven't been to the doctor in so long. You say, oh, well, the last time I went to the doctor, he said I was in perfect health and everything was cool. But you haven't been to the doctor in 12 years. At what point do you go back to the doctor, familiarize yourself with the doctor, so that you can understand the instructions that he's giving you? If you're in a place where maybe you need to better hear what it is that God expects of you, if you're in a place where the instructions maybe don't really make sense, maybe you don't have that type of relationship with God, but you want the healing, you want to know how to get better, what is necessary for you to do? As a church, we want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you so that you can get to a place where you find that healing, where you get to a place where your relationship with God is such that when he gives you the instructions, even if it's not something that you like, even if it's not something that you completely understand, you're willing to trust and submit. If you are in a place where you need that type of healing, we read this morning during our Bible study, it says in James that the prayer of the righteous are powerful and effective. We ask that you come forward, that you make it known that you want this healing, and allow us as a church to pray for you in your relationship with God. Please stand as we sing our song of invitation.